If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Father, in the name of Jesus, how grateful we are to be here today. Thank you for your blessing on this sanctuary and upon this place, for your favor that rests upon our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for rescuing our soul and continuing to rescue us from a world that is broken and hopeless. And thank you, Lord, for purpose and destiny in you. And now, Lord, as we dive into your word today, we ask that you would open up our hearts and our understanding that we may comprehend, that everyone in this sanctuary and who are listening over Facebook would be blessed by the word and grow thereby. And we give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, being Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I'm going to stop right there. This morning I want to share a message with you entitled Wrestling with God. Wrestling is an interesting sport. Anybody wrestled in here? Don Cossum was a wrestler? And I'm not talking about with Lucas. I know Dave Johnson was a wrestler. He beat up a lot of people. Still beating up people, I don't know. Wrestling's an interesting sport because it requires a whole lot of strength, it requires a lot of skill, it requires a lot of agility. It's an individual sport. It's one person versus one person, right? It's you, it's mano a mano, right? It's you against another person. And you are as entangled as you possibly can be with another person. Am I right? Obviously, during this virus, I can't imagine that wrestling is taking place. Unless it's like the big bubble sumo wrestling, right? Where you're just running into each other. I just can't imagine that happening because you can't get any more entangled in a wrestling match. And you know what? There's no escaping a match once it starts unless you want to lose. The only way you get out is either you win or you lose. Or I was watching a couple of videos the other day of on YouTube, you know, when I was busy at work. And it was lunchtime, all right? It was lunchtime. And it was one of those videos of, like, parents who go nuts at Little League games. Any of y'all on one of those videos? I'll look for you. But it was a wrestling match, and one kid had this other one. Like, I mean, he just had him twisted in some type of formation. I don't know what it was. Well, a mother came out on the court and grabbed the other kid and just threw him halfway across the ring. The only way you can win is that someone has to be submitted. In other words, you don't give up until they give up, right? My kids and I wrestle, and not as often as we used to because Logan has gotten so big that he now hurts me, and Avery gets so intense that he forgets to back off sometimes, and that also hurts me, and I'm old, so there's that, right? But typically, even with the two of them attacking me, I can win a wrestling match with them. I'm still bigger. I'm still stronger. So I can turn the tide at any point I want during the wrestling match because I am a little bit bigger than they are. Now, I know that there's coming a day. Well, I will ask them, please, don't touch me. But, it's still fun to beat up your children and show them who's in charge, right? But the story of Jacob wrestling with God, how many of you would admit, is a strange one? This is a strange story. It's a weird one, right? Because it just tells us that Jacob was alone and then he wrestled with a man. I mean, there's no setup. Doesn't tell us where the guy came from. Doesn't say that Jacob saw the guy coming. I don't know what the exchange was. You know, I'm alone. Let's wrestle. What happened here? You know what I mean? And so it's a strange story. For example, if I can still beat both of my kids in a wrestling match, it seems to me that God would have no issues with Jacob. Am I right? I mean, if you know the story of Esau and Jacob, Esau was the hunter, the outdoorsman, the strong guy, hairy, you know. He had the beard, you know. He was the one that was the man's man. And Jacob was a mama's boy, right? He was indoorsy, right? He was indoorsy, right? So, I mean, you would think God would have had no issues with indoorsy man, right? Okay, maybe Esau would have given him a fight, but here's Jacob, right? We know in looking at the story, Jacob obviously is the son of Isaac. He's the grandson of Abraham, and Jacob has a brother whose name is Esau. And as you know the story, they were twins. Esau was the firstborn, but Jacob connived with his mother to steal the birthright away from Esau. Esau gave his birthright up for a cup of soup. You know, I've always said, I hope the soup was good, right? I hope the soup was good, because you lost your birthright as a result. And so from the very beginning, Jacob had kind of one-upped Esau, had supplanted, deceived him, tricked him in taking away the blessing away from him. So at this point in the story, without going through the whole background, at this point in the story, Jacob is on his way back to Canaan after spending about 20 years in Paddan Aram. Paddan Aram. Every time I read that word, Paddan Aram. So he's on his way back to Canaan, which is where he belongs. He's on his way back to the promised land, but he's being pursued by Esau. So he's scared out of his mind because his estranged brother is not coming with a welcoming party. The Bible says that Esau is coming with 400 men. Now, so in Jacob's mind, Esau's coming with an army. Esau's coming with a group of men to get back what belongs to him, to take back from Jacob and to beat him down in the dirt for the many, many years in which Jacob stole the blessing away from Esau. And so the Bible tells us that Jacob actually separates his family into two different camps to keep from being completely annihilated. And so now he's decided that he's going to go off and be alone, and he's going to basically spend the entire night alone. He probably, obviously, at this point has insomnia. I don't know about you, but, you know, you're being hunted by a man that you know can beat you into the dirt. And so here he is, going to spend the night alone, probably going to spend all night begging God. Anybody ever been there? Spend all night begging God for a way out of this situation. And then this strange man shows up. And we don't know whether he challenged him to a wrestling match. We don't know if Jacob just said, hey, I want to practice. Right? Maybe I need some practice before Esau shows up. But this wrestling match lasts all night long. Why Jacob decided to do this, I don't have any idea, but it does seem at some point during this wrestling match, Jacob realizes that he's wrestling with God. So at some point in time in this wrestling match, it seems like Jacob recognizes, I'm not wrestling with just an ordinary man. Because he ends up naming this place Peniel, which means I have seen the face of God, or the face of God, and I am still alive, basically. And so somewhere in this match, Jacob realizes this is not a natural event. This is a supernatural event that's taking place in my life. And even though Jacob had this reputation of being the soft type and not being as strong as Esau, you have to admit that Jacob holding his own with God is quite impressive. Because at any point, just like with my kids, God could have ended this match. How many of you believe that? At any point in this wrestling match, God could have ended this match. But instead, God wrestled with Jacob as long as Jacob wrestled with him. Amen. Jacob refused to let go until he was blessed. He refused to let go until he was blessed. So what's happening here? What's happening here in this story, this supernatural event? Did a physical wrestling match take place? I believe it had to if God touched his hip, and the Bible says that he walked with a limp. Something physical had happened here, but something deeper than that was taking place in this wrestling match with God. Now, let me ask you a question. Any of you ever felt like you're wrestling with life? That every day is a wrestling match. That when the alarm goes off, the wrestling match begins. Some of you are wrestling with your blanket, wrestling with your pillow. You can't even get out of bed, right? Wrestling doesn't always mean a sport between two contenders. We wrestle with our thoughts. We wrestle with our fears. We wrestle with our desires and our dreams. This means that we are wrapped up, entangled, engaged, and are contending with things, trying to get to a place of freedom. We wrestle with anxiety and doubt and skepticism. We wrestle with insecurity, lack of confidence, and a low view of ourselves. We wrestle with the words that people have spoken over our lives, and we wrestle with how we've been treated throughout our life. And the Bible tells us that in the end, we wrestle with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are wrestlers in the kingdom of God, but we also can wrestle with God. And as far as I can tell, there are times that God wants us to wrestle with Him. Jacob did not instigate this match. Jacob did not go looking for a wrestling match. For a matter of fact, Jacob probably in the middle of this match thought, man, I wish this was over. I would just like to get back to worrying. I'd just like to get back to trying to sleep. Amen. Jacob didn't initiate this wrestling match. God did. But here's the thing. This supernatural wrestling match is the absolute turning point in the life of Jacob. From this moment forward, nothing is ever the same. Not only for Jacob, but for his family and the generation following him. You may not always understand why you're going through what you're going through, or why you feel like you're wrestling through this situation in your life, but you don't know what God is doing behind the scenes to bring you to a point that this is what you've been waiting for your entire life. What God wanted to do in Jacob and who Jacob was really supposed to be was never going to be a reality until this wrestling match. Think about that for a minute. Whatever it was that Jacob was looking for, whoever it was that Jacob was trying to become, was never going to happen if he didn't have this wrestling match with God. God picked a fight with Jacob. Now, I'll be honest with you. I like picking fights with the kids, you know. You just come up behind them and give them a little. Y'all do that? Any of you dads do that? You know, they can't not respond, right? They can't not respond. You can't give them a little jab in the side and they don't turn around and just sock you, right? God instigated this fight. Jacob could have said, I'm not in the mood. I don't want to do this. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm already emotionally wrung out. I don't want to do this. But Jacob wrestled with God, not for 5 minutes, not for 10 minutes, not for an hour. Jacob wrestled with God all night long. When God makes us wrestle Him for some blessing or blessings in our lives, it's not because God is reluctant to bless us, even though at first that's how it feels. All of us have been in times in our life where we felt like God is distant, where we felt like God does not want to bless us, where we feel like that, why does it have to be so hard? Why do I have to go through what I'm going through? Why does God call us to these wrestling matches? It's because He has more blessing in the wrestling than without it. Jacob was stewing in his own anxiety over Esau and his approaching slaughter squad, which when God showed up. He's afraid Esau's about to come and slaughter him and his entire family, and God shows up. And what did the wrestling do? It drew Jacob out of his fearful preoccupation, his fearful perception of life, and forced him to focus on God. Forced him to focus on God. I don't know about you, but if you're in a wrestling match, you're not over here cooking dinner while it's happening, are you? Right? If you're in a wrestling match, you're not over here trying to do homework at the same time. If you're in a wrestling match, you're focused on the fact that I got to get out of this thing before somebody breaks my neck. God, at times in our lives, seems to call us to wrestle with Him. And before I point out what happened to Jacob as a result of this wrestling match, I want to ask the question, how do we wrestle with God? And obviously, first, we wrestle through prayer. And here's the thing. We have forgotten how to pray like this. We expect microwave answers to prayer. Confessions that make things poof into existence. Let me just confess it and it'll poof into existence. Come on. We've all done that. But maybe there comes a time in our lives that our prayers need to be persistent. They need to be full of perseverance. Jesus didn't just tell one parable about persevering in prayer. He told three parables about persevering in prayer. Of pounding on a door until your neighbor answers, of going to a king and bugging him to death until the blessing comes. God is saying to us there is a time in our lives that we have to push through, we have to press in, we have to pray, we have to take the time to fight and battle and wrestle and believe and stand, even when it doesn't feel like it's easy to do. Amen. The promises of God, the Bible says, comes through what? Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Jacob would not let go until he was blessed. Jacob said, I'm not letting you go. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up until you bless me. I'm not giving up until I encounter you in a deeper and a real way. But he was already, and here's the thing about this. He was already promised the blessing through a prophetic word. It had already been prophesied even before he and his mother had got together to steal the blessing. It had already been prophesied that the older would serve the younger. That Esau would serve Jacob, and that Jacob would be the one who got the blessing. Jacob already had the blessing. He already had it promised to him through a prophetic word. But the promise did not become a reality to him until he wrestled. Until he wrestled. The Bible is full of promises. How many of you knew that? There are over 3,000 promises in the Word of God. Now, I know some of them are specifically designed towards people. I know that as Christians, we like to take every Bible verse and say that, you know, that God's promising me that He's going to give me the promised land, that I can go over to Israel right now and say, this is actually mine because God gave it to me. That's not how it works. I do know that there are certain promises that are specific, but the Bible is not just a book of promises. It's a book of prayer. How do we make the promises a reality of our lives? We pray the Bible. Yes, sir. Amen. We pray the promises of God. We read a passage of Scripture. We find what the promises are in that Scripture, and we pray them over our lives. We pray them over our kids. We pray them over our marriages. We pray them over our finances, because when we do so, we are making the promises of reality in our lives that many times will not come until we wrestle with them. We wrestle with God through prayer. And secondly, we wrestle through reading the Word of God. Now, I'm going to ask you to be honest here this morning. You don't have to raise your hand. But how many times have we just passed over passages of Scripture that we don't completely understand or we don't like what it says? How many times have we passed over passages of Scripture that we don't understand or we just don't like what they say? And some of us are saying, well, I like everything the Bible says. Then why aren't you living that way, right? Yeah. I like everything it says. Instead of engaging the passage and finding out what God wants to say to us, we just move on. It's easy for us to hang the good passages on our fridge, isn't it? We hang the good passages on our fridge. And then we chalk up the difficult ones to being cultural. Instead of allowing the passage to submit us to the will of God. The wrestling match doesn't end until somebody's submitted. And our hearts need to submit to what the Word of God says. If the Bible is the Word of God, then it is of the utmost importance that we allow it to speak with us. Wrestle with us. Until we truly hear what God is saying to us. There are difficult passages in the Bible. Let's just all admit to that. There are difficult passages in the Bible. It's easy for us to skip over those things that seem difficult to us. But if we really want to know what God's saying to us, why don't we wrestle over those words? Why don't we find out what God is saying to us? Why don't we find out what God is wanting to plant in our hearts? Because that is wrestling with God. It is in the wrestling that comes the deepest and longest lasting blessings. For Jacob, the wrestling opened him up to a life-changing experience. And so I just want to point out a few things that happened in Jacob's life because he wrestled with God. Number one, the wrestling brought peace. His day started with fear and trepidation, but it ended with peace in his heart. It ended with renewed faith. It ended with strength from this encounter. And here's the thing, wrestling with God may be hard, it may take time, it even may hurt us, but it will always lead us to renewed faith and peace. It will always lead us to a place of strength and hope. Sometimes we would like God to just speak comfortably to us, but sometimes it requires more. I would like at times for God to just come along and say fluffy words and allow me just to float through life, but that doesn't always happen. Sometimes it requires something of us. Sometimes it requires the Spirit of God to touch our hearts. As Don said here this morning, the Word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts as it goes in. It cuts as it comes out. It is going to make a difference in our lives, but in order to do that, we have to recognize that wrestling with God eventually is going to bring us to a place of peace. Yeah. Amen. Jacob said, I'm scared out of my mind. I'm full of anxiety. I'm full of trepidation. How do I get out of this hole? And God shows up. When we wrestle with God, it brings peace to our lives. Sounds kind of crazy that conflict would bring peace. But we have to understand that peace is not the absence of conflict. Amen. Peace is the ability to lay your head down on a pillow at night and go to bed in the middle of conflict. That is peace. Number two, it required Jacob to trust. God touched his hip and made Jacob limp. Now, there's 2 points that I want to point out from that event. First of all, it required Jacob to trust. Since Jacob now has a limp, this now makes him more vulnerable. Think about it. He's already probably weaker than Esau. Now he's got a dislocated hip. I don't know about you, but it's hard to wrestle with a dislocated hip. He's already weak enough. He already feels weak enough. And now here comes Esau, and he has a limp that now makes him even weaker. So what was Jacob going to have to do? He's going to have to trust God. He's going to have to trust God. Jacob already realized, man, his family probably already had bets behind the scenes. How much he got on Esau? How much he got on Esau? And now that he's limping, I'm doubling up, baby, double or nothing. Jacob's got no chance. Maybe up to this point, Jacob said, well, maybe the push-ups I did yesterday will help me take Esau to the ground and I can run for my life, right? I don't have to beat him. I just have to be faster than he is. But now I've got a limp. Not only am I weakened in my ability to fight him, now I can't even run from him. Now I can't even get away if I wanted to. He's going to have to trust God. When we wrestle in prayer with the Word of God, it requires us to be vulnerable. It requires us to learn to see our own weaknesses, which then leads us to the strength of God. Amen. What did Paul say? I asked God 3 times to remove this thorn in my flesh from me. And what did God say? All right. Don't worry, Paul. I'll take it away. You won't ever have to feel it or go through it again. It's all right. Is that what he said? Some of you read your Bible. He didn't say that. He said, My grace is sufficient because it's in your weakness that his strength is revealed. It was in Jacob's weakness that he learned that he had to trust God, and trusting God is where the true blessing lies. It's where the peace lies. It's where the joy lies. It's where the hope lies. It lies in trusting God. God, you've got this. Amen. So I'll go to bed. And then number three, as it relates to God touching his hip, it changed the way he walked. It was noticeable. The evidence, as Pastor Don said, was there. Jacob had an encounter with God. And because he had an encounter with God, he walked differently. Now let's think about it for a minute. He walked differently through pain. I mean, I've never had a dislocated hip, but I can't imagine that it's a walk in the park. No pun intended. I can't imagine that it's supposed to feel good. I'm sure it probably hurt for his hip to be taken out of socket or displaced or whatever had happened there. But he walked with a noticeable limp. He changed the way he walked. Any encounter with God, folks, is going to change us. Any encounter with God is going to change us. I've always challenged folks, if you're going to come to the altar, don't just cry and don't just scream and don't just wallow around and don't just pray. Don't just fall over. Get up and live differently. The altar is a place of death. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place where we carry our burdens and we lay them down and they stay there. Salvation is a death and a resurrection. When we get up from that altar, we are a different person, or at least we should be. If we have not, then we haven't encountered God. The wrestling may be hard. It may require something of us, but in the end, it will change the way we walk. It will change how we see the world, how we respond to the hardships and trials around us. When we wrestle in prayer and when we wrestle in the Word, it shapes in us a desire for holiness and righteousness. It shapes in us a desire to live and walk differently in our world. Amen. There has to come a time in our lives where we have to ask, what is the difference between me and my unsaved family, or my worldly friends? What is the difference between me and them? Because if I've encountered God, the evidence should be there. Amen. Jacob walks differently. His family, when Jacob came back, noticed, you're walking differently. When we've encountered God, we walk differently. Number four, I have two more. It changed his identity. When God asked Jacob, what's your name? It's not because God didn't know his name, right? It's just like when God asked Adam, where are you? It's not as though God didn't know where he was. He needed Adam to admit where he was. When God asked Jacob, what's your name? He needed Jacob to admit who he was. I am Jacob. I am a deceiver. I am a trickster. I am a liar. I have the blessing on my life because I deceived someone to get it. That was a hard place for Jacob to be. He's wrestling with God. You can't hide it any longer. You can't cover it up any longer. You can't make excuses for it. What's your name, sir? My name's Jacob. I'm a liar. I'm a trickster. I'm a deceiver. And I have the blessing because I deceived. But God changed his name. God said, you're no longer Jacob. You're now Israel, which means one who strives with God, or a prince of God. When we wrestle with God, folks, there is always more to it than we can see when we are in the struggle. There's always more to what God is doing in the middle of the struggle. There's always more to what God is wanting to say to us, what God is wanting to form in us, what God is wanting to shape in us. There's always more to it that we don't see in the middle of the struggle. If you remember when the disciples were out on the sea, Jesus had asked to borrow Peter's boat because the crowd was so large. And he moved out from the shore and he preached from that place. And then he told the disciples to throw their net on the other side of the boat, and they brought in all kinds of fish. They had the same encounter after the resurrection. They're out on the lake, hadn't caught anything all night. Jesus said, throw it on the other side, and they did it. There are times in our lives that God puts us in positions that the only way we could really see who he is is if we go through this. Jacob said, I have seen the face of God, and I have been preserved. I have had an experience with God, and he's changed who I am. Because no matter what you're going through, there's always a blessing in the transformation. Amen. There's always a blessing in the transformation. Maybe we're not getting where God wants us to go because we quit showing up for the wrestling match. We keep tapping out. We keep smacking the guy on the side there. Hey, come in and get me here. I need out. I don't want in this anymore. We're missing the transformation that God wants to bring into our lives. Jacob would have never become Israel if he had not wrestled with God. Because I believe in the wrestling, Jacob was not only wrestling with God, he was wrestling with himself. He was wrestling with who he was and who he wanted to be. But it was only when he encountered God that he became who he was meant to be. And number five, what do we see from this? The blessing was God himself. I want you to notice, I read through the passage a couple of times. After the match, God doesn't say, go see Esau and everything will be okay. For a matter of fact, in this passage, Esau never comes up. The topic of Esau never comes up in this wrestling match. You don't see Jacob trying to get God in a headlock and saying, I need you to do something about Esau. Now, maybe he did. I don't know. It's not recorded. But nowhere in this passage does God say, I'm going to take care of you. Now, in chapter 33, we see that being manifested, and Jacob gives glory to God, or Israel gives glory to God for what he is doing with his relationship with Esau. But there is no mention of Esau. God does not get up from this match and say, you are now Israel, and I'm going to take care of Esau for you. But what Jacob now knows is he has the personal presence of God with his life. He has the personal presence of God. He doesn't know what's going to happen still with Esau, but he does know this. He's got God. I found this very interesting. If you look at Genesis chapter 33, verse 20. And he, speaking of Israel or Jacob, erected there an altar, and he called it Elohu Israel. Now, what does that mean? It means God, the God of Israel, is what that means in Hebrew. Anytime you see El in it, you're going to have the name of God. Elohi is normally a plural form of the word God. So God, the God of Israel. Why is that interesting? If you look back through the book of Genesis and the story of Jacob, Jacob always refers to God as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. It wasn't until this wrestling match that Jacob said, he's now the God of Israel. He's no longer the God of Abraham and Isaac. He's now the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wednesday night, I talked about having a faith that is our own, and that's what happened with Jacob. He is now Israel. He erects an altar and names it God, the God of Israel. For the first time, Jacob refers to Yahweh as his own God. His faith had now become his own. It was no longer his grandpa's faith. It was no longer his daddy's faith. It was his own faith. It was his own relationship with God. It was his own encounter. It was his own blessing. He wasn't living in the shadow of somebody else's walk with God. Amen. It was now his own walk, his own commitment to Christ. Now, here's one thing that I found interesting. I saw this written somewhere, and I can't remember who wrote it. But Jacob did not get resolution during this match. He got relationship. God was the blessing that he had always been seeking. And there has to come many times a point in our lives, folks, where we have to make that choice. Do we demand an immediate resolution? Or are we satisfied with getting up with the assurance of God's personal presence with us, no matter what the outcome may be? There has to come a point in our lives where we are more concerned with relationship than we are resolution. Amen. There we are more concerned with grabbing hold of God and saying, I want to know you. I want to know who you are. There was a story about a missionary from Cuba, or in Cuba. And they didn't have a lot of food already. They didn't have a lot of money. And there was one evening that the cupboard was bare. He and his wife, and he had two kids. The cupboard was bare. There was no food. But they sit down. They all sit down at the table for dinner. And the missionary gave thanks to God for the food they were about to eat. The son tells the story. He says, I'm sitting at an empty table. There is nothing on the table. And here's my dad giving thanks to God for food that we're about to eat. He said, I was confused. I was angry. I was bitter. After 15 minutes of sitting at an empty table, there was a knock on the door. God laid on my heart to bring you dinner this evening. God brought exactly what they were needing. But at that moment, that young man, that teenager at that time, he said, I got a revelation. Because at that moment, we were not thankful for the food. We were thankful that God was with us. And there comes a time in our lives that it's not the blessing we need. It's the reality that He's with us. Amen. Listen, there's no greater encounter that we can have in life than that with our Savior. We've been encouraging ourselves since the beginning of this year to pursue God. Sometimes that pursuit is a wrestling match. And so I challenge you this morning, don't shy away, don't give up. Sometimes it may be strange, it might even hurt. But in the end, it will change us forever. Wrestle in prayer. Wrestle with the Word of God and let it say what it needs to say, but wrestle. Don't let doubt and skepticism win, because I know in a world that we live in that is falling apart around us with so many voices and so many opinions, with so many contrary and antagonistic towards the Word of God, it's easy to fall into doubt. It's easy to fall into skepticism. But it's okay to wrestle with the questions. Jacob asked a question. What's your name, man? And I don't know that God ever told him what his name was, but he got a revelation of God. There's nothing wrong with your questions. Ask them. Wrestle with them. Don't hide from your doubts and skepticism. Wrestle with the uncertainty. But in the end, be honest with God. And He will change how you walk. And He will change who you are for His glory and for your good. For His glory and for your greatest joy. Bow your heads with me here this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, how grateful we are for the supernatural encounters that we've had with You throughout our lives. Thank You, Lord, for being faithful to us even when we have been faithless. Thank You, Lord, for the promises of Your Word that are ours if we will only wrestle with them. If we will only wrestle with them and make them ours. Thank You, Lord, that You have called us to know You. I pray that You would encourage our hearts, Lord, to not settle, to not quit, to not give up, but to press in. That instead of moving backwards because of sin or mistakes or because of our own skepticism and doubt, help us move forward in You. And I give You thanks in Jesus' name.